This is going to be an overview of the book of Zephaniah. We're coming through the Old Testament. We're almost there. We started in Genesis. We're all the way up to Zephaniah. Zephaniah prophesied during the reign of Josiah. And historically, the book is a prophecy concerning the judgment of Judah, the judgment of Gentile nations, and God's protection of his remnant. Doctrinally, you're going to see the tribulation and protection of the remnant during that time. And the theme is the day of the Lord, which is mentioned 7 times in 6 verses and in 2 of the chapters, chapters 1 and 2. And then you have the phrase that day, which is the same day. And it's mentioned 4 times in chapters 1 and 3. So the day of the Lord is primarily the second coming, but it covers a long period of time because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is 1 day. But you have this day is in all 3 chapters in the book of Zephaniah. That's what these minor prophets are about, is primarily the tribulation and the second coming prophetically. Now devotionally, you're going to see judgment of our flesh to reveal hidden treasure in us. We're going to have to face judgment for our sins in our flesh, and that just makes us better. That shows he's working on us. You know the song, "He's Still Working on Me." And he's having to chisel some stuff off of us so that we will live right and live for him. Now, Zephaniah means Jehovah hides. Jehovah is our hiding place. He's our protection. This book is a very short book. It's got 3 chapters, 53 verses, 1,617 words. Historically, was around 630 BC. And in chapter 1, you have the day of wrath on Judah. In chapter 2, you have the day of wrath on the nations. In chapter 3, you see deliverance. In chapter 1, you'll see coming destruction from the Lord. Zephaniah 1:7, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests." And verse 14 says, "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly." So he sends them home crying to their mummies. Not just any man, but the mighty men. Revelation 6 shows us that the mighty men will be hiding in the dens and rocks of the mountains. No mighty men in the scriptures can stand against the almighty God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. David's mighty men couldn't. The mighty men of Genesis 6 couldn't. The mighty men of our day can't. All these tough people you see on TV are nothing but a bunch of little shrimp compared to Jesus Christ. Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, all these people, these are a bunch of little shrimp compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those guys couldn't even stand against the mighty men in the Bible. But Zephaniah 1:15, "That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness." Isn't Zephaniah such a doom and gloom preacher, just like Joel was, just like Habakkuk, just like the rest of the good preachers in the Bible, except for those false prophets back there that want to prophesy smooth things? You'll find that the greatest preachers are mostly negative because the truth hurts. They're bold with the truth, and the truth hurts. Zephaniah 1:16 through 17, "A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers, and I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung." When Jesus Christ came the first time, he voluntarily shed his blood for man. The second time, he sheds man's blood, and it will be up to the horses' bridles. They're going to be drunk with their own blood, as the Bible says. Zephaniah 1:18, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." A speedy riddance. It's going to be nothing for him. It's going to be over and done with. Any idol or invention that man can come up with can't deliver them at the second coming. I don't care if these rich guys get robotic limbs and start a robotic takeover. The Lord's sharp two-edged sword will cut right through that iron or whatever they come up with, their silver, their gold, can't deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. In chapter 1, you had the coming destruction from the Lord, which prophetically is the second coming. Remember, you got three applications: historically, prophetically, devotionally. In chapter 2, you have judgment on enemies, judgment on the nations. He says in Zephaniah 2, 1 through 3, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day passes, the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord. All ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. I constantly tell the Lord that I'm on his side. I'm eternally secure. I just want to let him know where I stand in my mind, even though he already knows. I want to be hid if something goes down. I don't want to face, I'm not going to face the wrath of God, but you know what I mean. I just like letting the Lord know I'm on his side. And anything you go through down here, he's our hiding place. Remember, Zephaniah means Jehovah hides. I don't want none of the Lord's anger. You shouldn't want none of the Lord's anger. I bow my head and bow down right now to the Lord. I bow to the Lord. Nobody else. You might as well go ahead and bow down now, because everybody's going to. You got a lot of people that think, well, I'm tough, I'll cuss God when I see him. No, you won't. You'll bow down, just like the Bible says. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Call on him while he's near. Don't wait till it's too late. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and it vanishes away. In chapter C, you see the Lord's plan is to gather the nations together. It's always been like this, where men gather together and look over their own disagreements with each other so that they can get together because of a mutual hatred that they have for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how when people, they don't like each other, but then they hate this other person even more, and they'll gather together even though they don't like each other because they both hate that person. That's what they do with the Lord. They hate the Lord. It's like the Pharisees got together with the Sadducees because they hate the Lord. People gather together against him. But that just makes him kill them all faster. You know, that's a good strategy in war. Get all the enemies together, that way you can blow them all up at once. That's like a strategy of war there. In chapter 3, you see the Lord's plan is for the nations to gather together. And Zephaniah 3:8, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. God is a jealous God. The Lord is a man of war. He's watched people choose the flesh, the world, and the devil, and idols over all the way throughout the 6,000 years of humans being on this earth, and now they will be destroyed by the fire of his jealousy. But in this chapter, you also see the restoration of Israel. You see that deliverance for Israel. In Zephaniah 3:9, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. That's the millennial kingdom. Very plain in the scriptures that God isn't done with Israel, and that the church has not replaced Israel. There is coming a day when Israel can be in their land and not have to worry about an enemy coming to take over, because nobody will be able to take the Lord off the throne.